I want to talk to you about the church at prayer. And by the church, of course, I mean people, church at prayer. And I have to confess to you that for me, this is the most difficult subject to preach from, because I feel quite a hypocrite. Many of the things that I'll be saying to you, I find difficult to do and don't do at times. The difficulty comes to me to preach it because I don't do praying very well. And I guess neither do you. So it's an interesting and important phrase that the Apostle Paul rounds this letter off by saying to the new Christians, pray continually, pray without ceasing. And I suppose the first thing I have to say is that he's speaking to Christians. He's writing to a new church. This is not, he's not saying this to those who don't believe. God does, does hear the prayers of unbelievers when they come to him and pray to find him. He'll hear that prayer. But this is not that kind of prayer. He's not talking about the prayer of the unbeliever. This is the prayer of the Christian. And the emphasis he's bringing is that prayer is one of God's greatest gifts that he gives to Christians. You see, what's prayer is that it's the gift of immediate access to your Father. It's the greatest gift of all. Immediate access to God, the Heavenly Father, for his children when they come in prayer. Just imagine if God had not given you that gift. Look back over your Christian life and think of the number of times you've had to cry out to him. What a gift this is. Gift of prayer. And it's a terrible betrayal of God's amazing gift if we allow our praying, our speaking to God, to become just a brief little thing that we do when we remember. And it becomes almost mechanical. It's like a little duty, you know, we're supposed to pray, I suppose I better just pray. What a terrible abuse of this amazing gift if we become like that. And so I want to speak to you about this morning. Prayer is the main expression of our faith in God. You have to have faith to believe when you come in prayer regularly to God. Without that, there's no point in coming, and you'll find you won't come. Prayer is the biggest evidence that you have faith in God. So no prayer shows you've no faith, or little prayer shows you've got tiny little faith in God. Because without prayer, there's no salvation. No salvation without prayer, coming to God. Without prayer, there can't be any spiritual progress. Our keeping on in this Christian life, not falling away, depends on prayer. So much depends on prayer. So I want to look with you at these words, pray continually. I mean, we're very busy people. We're probably as busy, if not busier, in our lifetime than people have ever been. I'm not sure about that, but I know they used to work longer hours, but there's so much now to occupy us. So many things that demand our attention. So what is the Holy Spirit saying when he says that the true Christian should be praying continually without ceasing? Well, he must be saying that prayer throughout each day is so necessary because the Christian is continually under attack. So that Satan does not just choose to attack you when you set off to church and he leaves you alone for the rest of the time. He's always after you to bring you down. And so the Holy Spirit is saying because Satan is at you continually, you as a Christian need to be praying continually. Satan and his evil forces are looking for those areas in your life, and you know them, where you're weak, and he can trip you up and bring you down. So how do you actually do this thing, praying continually? Well, there are many types of prayer. Because we've come to the end of Thessalonians, I'll perhaps just have one more message next week before we close it down. I've been working on a new series, and I decided that because of where we are as a church, at a time of change for the better, in the sense of, as I've reminded you before, we've appointed our first deacon in Graham, Stuart, they're away on half-term holiday. Stuart is taking up the role of church secretary. Graham looks after all the treasury and account stuff. Peter leads our worship with the music, and we've got Tuesday at 2. We've got a lot in place, but we're at a point of change. We're talking to Paul Severs about him taking on the role of assistant minister here for a start, and then possibly taking over as pastor. There's a lot going on, and so I decided that I would turn for our next series to the best book in the Bible that speaks from God about how a church grows and builds and rebuilds. And it's the book of Nehemiah. Well, I'm not going to go on the book of Nehemiah, but as I began to look at it several weeks ago now, I noticed that there was a massive example of prayer in the opening verses. And I wanted to bring that to you, because in answer to how do you pray continually, I wanted just to use Nehemiah as an example of two types of prayer that might help us to answer the question, how do you pray continually? Let me just set the scene for you. As I say, I don't want to go into Nehemiah. I'll be pinching my first sermon if I do. But what had happened is that long time ago, before Nehemiah, one of the great Babylonian emperors, Nebuchadnezzar, came and he smashed the city of Jerusalem, smashed its walls, ruined the temple, and took all the people off for captive. And Nehemiah's family was one of them, and he was now miles and miles away from the land, and he knew of the mess that Jerusalem was flattened, the temple had gone, and he knew that one of the later kings had given some of the Jews release to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, rebuild the temple. Well, they didn't have mobile phones or the BBC in those days. And so many years had passed. Nehemiah was still a captive when suddenly his brother arrives, and Nehemiah knew that a load of folk, a load of Jews had gone back to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And so he runs to his brother and he says, "What's the news?" Thinking, of course, it'll be done by now. It'll be finished. The walls will be up. The temple will be there. People will be back. Wonderful. And his brother says to him, "It's disaster. It's disaster. Every time we build a bit, the enemy comes and knocks it down. The people are so discouraged, they've given up. The whole thing's a mess. It's awful." That's the background. So, I read. "When I," that's Nehemiah, "heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." That's one type of prayer. Day after day after day, coming to God in prayer, coming to him. There's another type of prayer, and Nehemiah illustrates that too. Because Nehemiah, by this time, was a very important man in the palace. He was the king's most trusted person. We're told about that a little bit later. And one day, Nehemiah comes to the king, the great, powerful Artaxerxes. Greatest, mightiest, hardest, cruel king of that time. And his most trusted servant had access to him day by day, and he comes in, and the king says to him, to Nehemiah, "Why are you looking so upset? What's upset you? Why? What have you got a face on you like that for?" And Nehemiah said, "Well, how can I not look like this when I've discovered that all my family and all my friends and all the Jews who are back in Jerusalem are being attacked by the enemy. The walls are non-existent. The temple's gone. My heart's breaking. How can I not look sad?" So the king said, "Well, what do you want me to do about it?" And I read on to you. The king said, "Why does your face look so sad? You're not ill." "I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my family are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' And the king said, 'Well, what do you want?' And then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king." That's another kind of prayer. He didn't fall on his knees and pray for an hour. The king said to him, "What do you want me to do?" And he answered the king almost immediately, but in between he said, "Lord, help." That's another kind of prayer. Two kinds of prayer there that I wanted us to see when this verse talks about praying continually, praying without ceasing. It involves those kind of prayers. Each of our busy days, you will find in them numerous things happening that should bring quick prayers to God. Prayers of thankfulness. And I remind you that I'm not saying that I do all of these things, but just think about it. You see, praying continually, if you get into the habit, whenever you get into the car, you thank the Lord for all the safe journeys. Every time you get in the car and you pray to him and say, "Lord, if it is your will, keep us safe." Every time. When you go into the supermarket, this is how you pray continually. I'm not talking about falling on your knees, spending half an hour, I'm saying half a sentence to the Lord. When you go into the supermarket and you look around at all the choices that you've got and the money you've got in the pocket, in your pocket, and you think of the millions, and I say that millions of people in the world today who will have no food, no money, nothing. Every time you walk into the supermarket, this is how you pray continually. You say, "Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. But what a privilege it is to have all this." When you walk in your home after this service, and it's warm, and the roof's not leaking, and there's somebody there maybe that, or you look around, you're not on your own. If you're married, your wife or your husband, thank the Lord. If you did it every time, that's praying continually. You'd find that all day you'd be thanking him. There's so many things that you'd be thanking him for. I'm sure that's what this means. It's not a matter of falling on your knees for hours and hours and hours in prayer. It's being grateful for everything that God has given you. Your food, your family, all the helps, all the answered prayer. And you've got to have something that's going to have to trigger it, or the day will be gone and you won't have done it. So things like that. For me, walking the dog. Walking the dog. I have to do it. I had to drag him out this morning in the rain. He wouldn't get out of the door. I was 2 yards in front of him with the lead pulling him. And when I got him out, it reminded me again. Thank you for the rain, Lord. I know there have been times in this country, Paul and I have lived through them, maybe you have too, when we were desperate for water. Thank you for the rain, Lord. I don't like it, but thank you. Thank you for how you look after us. Thank you that this is your day. Now, don't get me wrong and think how spiritual I am. I struggle with this. I need those reminders. For me, as I say, starting the day, it's walking the dog. For me, whenever I wake up now, I've got myself into the habit of saying, thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest and for giving me a new day. It's your day. I could have gone in the night. You've given me this new day. Help me to use it. Just a sentence or two. The habit is, every time I wake, every time I take the dog out, every time I go in the supermarket, every time I get in the car. Can you see what he's saying? And you can add to that another 100 things if you like. Pray without ceasing, the Christian says. And alongside this is our love for God. Love for God, the one who rescued and saved us. I was lost. I was a hopeless sinner. He wouldn't have given me a chance, knowing my life. I don't want you to know it. But if you knew, you wouldn't have given me a chance at all. And yet God rescued me and saved me. And so that's another thing to add for. Christians should never let a day pass by without saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. Me. And what that has opened for me. Oh dear, that's opened eternity with him forever. That means I'll see my mum and dad who were Christians. It means that Terry will see Margaret again. It means so, so much. It's wonderful. And so, every day, we thank God for his love for us, that he saved us and he's kept us. Your future is certain and secure as a Christian. Thank him for his patience with you. Oh, I mean, it's wonderful to be saved, but I've let him down so many times. I can honestly say that it's just like throwing his love back in his face. I've let him down so many times. Thank him for his patience. Thank him for his promise that when I fall into sin, that if I come to him and confess my sin, he says he's faithful and just every time and will forgive my sin. Thank him for that. Can you see how this list grows? This is not the picture of a saint with a polo mint being on his knees for hour after hour after hour. This is pray continually. Let things remind you of the goodness of God and thank him. Wonderful. It's wonderful. Thank him for his constant kindness. Now, you know, after I've said all that, you will know how difficult it is. You see, Jesus knew how difficult this matter of prayer is. The disciples had heard Jesus pray, and I can almost imagine them, this is not in the Bible, but I can almost imagine them as they'd listened to Jesus praying, looking at one another and nudging one another and saying, how does he pray like that? We don't pray like that. And one day, after saying this together, they went to him and they said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? We've been praying all our lives in the temple, but we don't pray like you. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus gave them a model prayer. A prayer that is not for them to repeat. It was to say, when you pray, your prayer should be like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and trespasses. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. How long did that take? That's the model prayer. When they came to the disciples, Jesus came to the disciples and they'd asked him, show us how to pray, you would have thought he would have given them an hour long. No, no. The model prayer takes less than half a minute. Jesus is saying something to us in that. In this praying continually. You see, I don't know whether I'm painting you all lacker than I should be. Forgive me if I am. I'd never been able, as a Christian, a pastor, to pray for an hour. I've never managed it. I've tried. I've never managed it. So I'm so interested in this praying continually. And I'm so interested in Jesus' model prayer. Now, when I say I haven't managed it, I've still been there at the end of the hour, but my mind's gone 20 minutes ago. Because it's hard. And don't you wonder at the grace of God in saying, this is how you pray as a Christian. It takes less than a minute. Come to me and pray like that. Talk about God's name. Ask him to help you to honour it today. Ask him to help you to live in his will today. Ask him to keep you safe from the attacks of the evil one. Thank him for your food and all the comforts. Honour him that his is the kingdom, the power and the glory. It only takes a minute. Jesus said, that's the model prayer. And you can do that many times during the day. You see, I've heard so many sermons on prayer. I wish I'd have taken notes. I would have been able to not spend hours making a sermon. But I never took any. But I've heard many sermons on prayer. And for most of them, I left feeling terribly guilty. I don't do it. I've never been able to do it. I can't do it. I'm not wanting to make you feel guilty. I'm wanting myself and you to be able to see it's possible. When you approach it like this, when you say, it's a minute, it's 2 minutes, and I thank him in there, and I thank him when I move into this, and I thank him for my family, and so on and so on. You can pray throughout the day, every day. And it doesn't become that burden of prayer. It isn't easy. The quick emergency prayers are easy. You will all have done this. Lord, help me. That's a prayer. It's the other times, the more disciplined times, which we need. I'm not trying to tell you that you don't have those times where you actually spend in prayer, where you set aside a time, where perhaps at the end of the day, where you spend some time in prayer. I don't know how long or how short, but that's not one of these emergency prayers. That's the right thing to do. But I want to say that when that happens, when you turn to God in prayer, and I'm sure you will know that this is true, there are always obstacles. There are always things to stop you. As soon as I go to spend any time in prayer, there will be hurled into my mind all kinds of things that I need to do to distract me. If you're a Christian here this morning, you'll know that that's true. Every time you come to pray to God, there will be things filling your mind. Oh, did I turn the gas off? Oh, was that the postman? They will be hurled into your mind because you've got an enemy. You see, that well-known phrase is absolutely true, that Satan, who's your enemy, and his cohorts, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Well, he doesn't just tremble, he'll try to stop you. He'll do everything he can to stop you coming to the prayer meeting. Everything. Our prayer meeting is the lowest attended meeting in the church, and yet it should be the most vital. It should be the time when, for 1 hour, we come, read God's word, learn a little bit, and pray. And Satan stops us. And he's very good at it. You see, we mustn't expect prayer to be easy. Something you've got to give yourself to. The enemy is against us. It takes effort, but it's worth it to have access to Almighty God. 30 seconds before I pray, I'm full of life. Bound upstairs, get into my bed to pray. I'm full of life. The instant I turn to prayer, I start to fall asleep. Because I've got an enemy. He doesn't want me to pray. He knows that this is the power source of heaven. He'll stop me. So it takes discipline. There's always obstacles. One way to deal with obstacles is to set that time. Jesus encourages us to ask the Father and to expect an answer. So we pray and we wait expectantly. We believe in his mighty power. When we do come and speak to him, he hears us and he promises to answer. He doesn't promise to answer in the way that we pray every time. Sometimes he knows that what we're asking for wouldn't help us in our spiritual life at all, but he will answer us. So don't give up. Pauline and I go to the Keswick Convention. We're going again this year. Keswick Convention is held in Keswick, of course, and it's the it's time when 4,000 or 5,000 Christians bombard, and that's how Keswickers think of it. Bombard Keswick Christians, and they meet together to worship and praise God and hear his word. A Christian lady who regularly went to the Keswick Convention during the in between the times of the meetings went to Keswick's most famous, world famous coffee shop and baker's, Bryson's. And upstairs they have this huge coffee place. And while she was ordering a coffee and so on, and as the waitress brought it, she got chatting to the waitress. And after they'd had their coffee and a cake, she spoke to the waitress, you know. So the waitress was saying, all these Christians flooding the place, you know. And this Christian lady spoke to her and witnessed to her, but this waitress wouldn't have any of it at all. Rubbished it, a whole lot of it. And so she realised that she wasn't getting anywhere witnessing, and so she said to this lady, this waitress, the Christian lady left, she said, I'll pray for you. I've said that many times, I bet you have too. Not for this woman, but I bet you've said that to someone. This lady meant it. For 23 years she prayed every day for that waitress. She didn't even know her name. 23 years. And every year of those 23 years, she went back to the Keswick Convention, of course, and she went into Bryson's, but the waitress had left. She couldn't, he didn't even know her name to ask about her. Never saw her again, but never stopped praying. Until one day she met her. The Christian lady met the waitress. The waitress wasn't a waitress anymore, and she wasn't in the coffee shop, and she wasn't wandering around Keswick. The waitress was in the Christian Convention. A Christian, a sister in Christ. 23 years of daily prayer. And the lady had come to know Jesus. Don't give up. The Lord hears. It's his timing. Keep on. Pray without ceasing. And I'll bring this down to a close now. One way I bring to you helping to spend time in prayer without trotting out empty phrases. When you're praying for your family, when you're praying for your friends, you've got to repeat things. You've got to say the same words. But the Lord knows your heart. And when he talks about, when Jesus spoke about vain repetition in prayer, he wasn't meaning that it's wrong to say the same thing time and time again. He was saying that it's vain. You don't really mean it. You just bubble it out. It doesn't mean anything to you. And one way to avoid that. So, for example, if you're praying for the salvation of someone, one way of avoiding just trotting it out is to spend a minute or two before you come to prayer thinking. If you're praying for that person's salvation, thinking about what a terrible thing it would be. Maybe it's a member of your family. or a neighbour or a friend. What a terrible thing it would be for that person to enter eternity lost, facing the wrath of God, facing eternal damnation in the fire of hell. Think about that and then come to pray. You'll find that it's not vain repetition anymore, even though you're saying the same words. There's something of your heart in it. Lord, my family, this is how they are. They're on the broad road. Cry to him. It's one way to help you to avoid just meaningless repetition of prayers. Pray the Bible when you read it. It's full of promises. God's put them in there. When you come across one, pray for it. You don't have to drop on your knees for 2 hours. Just ask him to fulfill that for you in your life. And my last sentence from the scripture to help myself and to help you. Because you might say, I don't know what to say when I pray. I don't have the words. I keep coming and I don't know what to say. I want to do what the word's saying and what you've been preaching this morning, but when I come, I just don't know what to say. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Romans. He says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps the Christian in their weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. What Paul is saying there is that God the Holy Spirit knows we don't have the words often, and his promise is that he will take our stumbling words of prayer when we actually start to pray unceasingly. He'll take those stumbling words of prayer, he'll strengthen them, he'll perfect them, and he'll carry them into the very throne room of God, perfect for him to know about. It's a wonder. And so the hymn writer says, in this matter of prayer, he says, thou art coming to a king. Don't forget that. You're coming to a king. So, because of that, large petitions with you bring. For God's love and grace is such, no one can ever ask too much. Wonderful, isn't it? Amazing gift of God. May his word help us to be those and a church that prays without ceasing. Amen.